Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, Chauchage, Mooneyang, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah De A, recording from home on Thursday, January 13th, 2022. On tonight's show, taking the temperature of Montreal's English theater scene while the ghost light is on, and a treat for fans of Dolly Parton and music. My guests tonight include three voices for our conversation about the state of the theater: Amy Blackmore of Mainline Theater and Fringe Fest.
I've been hearing that, you know, folks want everything to change. Theater works and sometimes theater doesn't. There are things happening in our institutions that are wonderful and things that aren't as well. And there's a lot of change taking place.
Mathieu Murphy-Perron of Table d'Hôte Theater.
Showing up and letting us know that there's still a public who are interested in the collective experience of sharing stories and telling tales. Please show up.
Rahul Gandhi of Quebec Drama Federation.
You start a career and then you have 2 years of everything is different and everything is uncertain. And that is another thing that I feel is happening in these next couple of months, and that has been happening. It's folks that we know, artists in the industry, just sort of taking a step outside the industry because they have to.
And performer Sarah Farb on the magic of Dolly Parton.
She really bridges a lot of divides. There's a quotation in the show that Fran Lebowitz has said something about even people who don't like each other like Dolly Parton. But yeah, she's somehow this like incredible unifier, and it doesn't really seem like it's much of an effort. She's just so herself, and people appreciate that no matter who they are.
Before we begin, an update. The cancellations and postponements keep rolling in as theaters remain closed. After a sort of normal fall season with live performances for masked, sometimes distanced audiences, the arrival of the contagious Omicron variant has scuttled plans for the second half of the theater season. Geordie has postponed, Other Worlds, Foxfighter is on hold at the Mai, Centaur's January festival, Wildside, is also postponed. What will come of shows set to go live later this month and in February, not yet clear. Just this afternoon, the government announced the easing of some measures, including the lifting of the 10 p.m. curfew this Monday, and students will return to class as scheduled next week. They say the peak of the fifth wave is nearly over, but hospital emergency rooms remain under tremendous strain, and thousands of new COVID cases are still being registered every day, though the actual case count could be much higher as the method of counting them with PCR tests is currently restricted. Not much word yet about entertainment and venues, but the relaxing of other measures will gradually ease up. Still, we have been here before, so what should we fret over? How do we remain hopeful? And how can audiences, fans, support local theater while the ghost light is on? I invited three voices from the English theater scene to answer those questions. Amy Blackmore is executive and artistic director at Mainline Theater, the Saint-Ambroise Montreal Fringe Festival, and the Bouge d'Ici Dance Festival. Mathieu Murphy-Perron is artistic and executive director at Table d'Hôte Theater, which has been presenting shows outdoors over the past two summers, like En Pointe and La Vie en Pink. As well as Rahul Gandhi, an actor who spoke with me last fall about his directorial debut, and he also happens to be co-director and director of operations at the Quebec Drama Federation. We spoke yesterday via Zoom. Welcome, Amy, Mathieu, and Rahul. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So why don't we start with something positive and look back into 2021 and tell me what was something that stood out for you from the last 3 or 4 months, something you really you saw or that you put on that you were really happy with.
I had the pleasure of seeing Every Brilliant Thing at the Siegel Center. And I have to say that I quite adored that show. It really kind of made my fall. And it was kind of nice to see them bring the show back, because as folks remember, it, you know, originally played in the spring at the Siegel, and they were able to bring it back in the fall. And I'm hoping to see more shows come back like that. It's kind of an easy way to put up a production, I think, in these times, to bring back some older work. I was really moved by it. And also, if you've seen it, you know who Sam is. I got to be Sam. And suddenly I was sitting in a theater with only a spotlight on me and I was petrified. But it was really fun too.
So you got to see something but be on stage too, Amy, which is very satisfying, maybe a little scary.
It totally caught me off guard, I have to say, although I was glad that I chose my cool leather jacket that night and that I did brush my hair. But it was fun.
Rahul, how about you?
Yeah, definitely. I was actually there for every brilliant thing. And I was going to say that as well, because it's just a really nice, it just reminds you, you know, even in dark times that there are brilliant things. And you get to see Amy Blackmore go on stage, which was also very fun. I also, though, had a great time at La Vie en Pink table d'hôte show, because it really reminded me of, you know, performing arts in Montreal, really having a backdrop and influence of Montreal in it, something that I've like missed a little bit in the past 2 years.
Oh, thanks, Rahul.
Well, shout out to Mathieu, the architect of La Vie en Pink. What was the highlight for you, Mathieu? And we'll just say you can pick your own show. That's okay too.
I'm not going to pick my own show, although I have really the past couple of years of working and working outside and working in a new form has been quite enjoyable, but no, to my surprise, and it's gonna be a little bit of a Siegel Center love fest over here. But I was blown away by Super Dogs the musical, which for anyone who knows my history with musicals, and for anybody who may even know my history with mainline theater and musicals, might be surprised to find out that my favorite performance in recent months was Super Dogs. And that's because it was exactly what I knew it was going to be. I mean, it wasn't profound theater in any sense of the imagination, but it was a beautiful collective experience. It was beautiful to be there on opening night and just see everybody so giddy and happy and like awing and cooning over these dogs and their tricks. It was great to experience something so collective. Again, and I give Lisa and John and the Siegel Center team kudos for having thought of the sort of collective experience we needed while transitioning away from the last 2 years of hardship. I also would want to highlight Black and Blue Matters. It was great to see Black Theater Workshop doing something outside. I think more and more companies are going to be needing to embrace the outside. I can't wait for the full production one day. But being able to gather in a park not very far from my house and see Omari's powerful words and see those performers was quite something.
And Mathieu, you're available for anyone who has questions about staging outdoor shows,
always,
right?
Always.
Yeah, you're the expert. You're the de facto expert in that.
Oh, I think Amanda and Reaper are the experts, but I'm gaining a few things.
True, true. And I think we can look forward to seeing that show presented in an actual full format this year, I think. So we have that to look forward to.
COVID permitting, yeah.
COVID permitting. I'll go and just give some love to the Centaur. I really loved Rebecca Northern's All I Want for Christmas, because it was such a beautiful set design and it was so funny and it didn't reference COVID at all. And it was just so enriching. And I somehow got put in the first row for opening night, and they also had spaced people out, which is very kind and thoughtful. So I felt like I was just getting to see these three performers perform just for me. And also seeing Anna Rydvald's Mask show for Infinite Theater, The Silence of Sky, because the show was great, but I also had a really nice conversation with a woman next to me. And that was in early December. But even at that point, talking to strangers is still something we just don't do that often. And that's part of what I love about the theater community in Montreal, that you can, people are so friendly, and you can meet people at Fringe, or you can talk to someone at a big show and make a connection. And it may not be your next best friend, but you can still take that home with you. And I had that really nice experience with somebody. All right, we feel positive. We're thinking about nice things. Before we go any further, though, you're listening to a conversation with myself, Sarah Day, here on Upstage. And joining me, Mathieu Murphy-Perron of Table d'Hôte Theatre, Amy Blackmore of Mainline Theatre and Fringe Festival, and Rahul Gandhi of the Quebec Drama Federation, talking about the state of theatre in January 2021. Our venues are closed right now. It's a little uncertain knowing when we're going to get back to live indoor shows. We have some things kind of tentatively happening online. I just wanted to do a vibe check and ask you guys what you're thinking right now at the beginning of January. What are you expecting over the next few weeks? Amy, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, well, you know, interestingly enough, you know, I was fortunate enough to have an entire month off over the holidays. It's the first long period I have had off in probably 10 years. And I am feeling positive. I'm looking forward. And I'm trying to see the light at the end of this tunnel. Fortunately, we're still far away from Fringe. So what you will see in the next few weeks are announcements about the upcoming festival, how to participate, how to get involved, how to be an artist. We're really excited about that. But, you know, on the flip side, it definitely, you know, it really is a bummer to have Mainline empty this week. We did revisit our model last year in order to protect ourselves. So for example, you know, Mainline, we typically have shows all year, but we designed a winter season with performances and residencies. So our residencies are continuing and the space is available for that. But we're not sure what's going to happen with our shows. We're hoping Festival de la Bête Noire is going to be able to happen. We'd love to have folks in on Nuit Blanche as per tradition. But it's a bit of a wait and see.
Thank you. Rahul, from where you sit as, you know, as someone who's a performer, but also working at the Quebec JAMA Federation, what's going through your mind right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely grateful that I let myself, someone who's a performer, I let myself be in an environment like the QDF, because you really do see, you know, even with the obstacles that we have in front of us, the community wants to create, wants to make things, wants to be on stage. A lot of great art is made under, you know, pressure and obstacles. And I'm not glamorizing that. It's not a good thing, but that does happen, right? And so I feel this really, really big intensity and urgency to be able to get back to it. And even in a lockdown, even in a curfew, I know a lot of artists are just planning the next thing anyway. On the other side of that, as a performer, I got out of theater school a couple of years ago, and I think only a handful of us are still kicking around, because, you know, you start a career and then you have 2 years of everything is different and everything is uncertain. And that is another thing that I feel is happening in these next couple of months, and that has been happening. It's folks that we know, artists in the industry, just sort of taking a step outside the industry because they have to. If Amy was optimistic, I have a very realist approach to to thinking about the next few months.
It's just because I'm always an optimist, Rahul. I can't help it.
I think you have to be sometimes. But Rahul, is there real concern for grads, people who were, you know, out into the job market in the last 2 years or so? Like, this is a really rough time to be trying to make a career in the arts.
Yeah. I mean, and I can speak for actors more specifically than a lot of other fields, of course, because I'm an actor. But, you know, two agencies closed down last year, and those folks have to get new agents. So imagine somebody just getting out of, say, theater school, trying to get an agent. Like, it's all the more difficult. I was lucky to be able to do a lot of theater while I was in school and prior to school and immediately after as well. But a lot of folks don't have that benefit right now, because shows are happening, shows aren't happening, shows are postponed, shows are on. It's really uncertain and difficult, especially earlier on in your career.
That is the voice of Rahul Gandhi, co-director and director of operations at the Quebec Drama Federation, himself a performer and artist. I'm Sarah DeAy here on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're also joined by Mathieu Murphy-Perron of Table d'Hôte Theatre and Amy Blackmore of Mainline Theatre and Fringe Festival, talking about the state of theater right now in January 2021 as Quebec battles the fifth wave. Well, Mathieu, we've heard from an optimist, a self-admitted realist. Are you somewhere in the middle or on one side of the spectrum?
I'm feeling more I mean, it's tricky, right? And Rahul really has the big picture. Not to say that Amy and I don't, but Rahul has a big picture right now. It's easy for myself as the artistic director of Table d'Hôte, who's, you know, we're a packed company, we're around the other packed companies. And we have to say that the level of government support to keep institutions afloat, to make sure that if we want to create, we're not creating with too great of a risk, because if we do have to be shut down, there's measures to make up for the lost revenue that we can no longer have. That has really stabilized people in a way that I was not feeling at the beginning of the pandemic, that makes me think our institutions will survive. Then you got to look at the individual artists, right? individual artists, in theory, if we're getting this money to put on these shows, and if the show doesn't happen, then we still get money so we can still pay artists. That is trickling down. But I know a lot of artists also want to be creating. Calc, Canada Council also both increased their amount of funding towards individual artistic projects. Table d'Hôte helped something like, I don't know, I think 8 artists apply for grants recently. And of those 8, 7 of them got it, which was unheard of in previous times. So there is more money out there. And I do feel that people are creating. They are finding their way towards Mainline to do some workshops and whatnot. Now everybody's just asking the question as to like, when are we going to be able to show it? I also feel that maybe people are starting to, you know, I hope we're going to be out of this soon enough, but maybe starting to realize that it is time to be rethinking our season models. Maybe for the next little while, we need to not be putting so much energy in November to February. Maybe we do need to be putting more energy into summer. I'm starting to hear those conversations, and I think that's exciting. I think that's exciting. So hopefully the money's out there. Hopefully people are letting the ideas run through their head and are finding ways to create when we will be allowed to create again. But of course, it will always be frustrating for a great number of people in the artistic community to see that you can't be in a theater where you can theoretically have people distanced and masked and they're not interacting, but you 100% can have you can just like go to IKEA, and even though it's like 50% capacity, you see that there's a lot more people in IKEA.
I love that you brought IKEA into it, because that's true. It's that shopping is kind of like the only activity you can do, provided it's not on a Sunday at this point with the restrictions. But kind of another optimistic view on things. I'm curious to know, for Huel and Amy, are you also hearing this kind of debate around maybe our season formats being kind of restrictive or maybe changing? Is that something you guys have heard of as well?
I've been hearing that, you know, folks want everything to change. Theater works and sometimes theater doesn't. There are things happening in our institutions that are wonderful and things that aren't as well. And there's a lot of change taking place. I think that for many, folks have taken time to reflect about their values, what kind of work they're putting on their stages, and how they want to move forward. For myself, I'm always thinking about the structures that make theater happen and whether or not we want to keep them or not. There's some revisiting taking place. And I realize that, you know, I'm being a little vague about it, but I wonder what theater is going to look like in 10 years. You know, the CQT, the Conseil Québécois du Théâtre, we're working right now on our plan directeur, and it's a plan for what theater is going to look like for the next 10 years or in 10 years, you know, what our goals are, what the plan is going to be to get there. And I think there's a lot of work to do. So when it comes to seasons, sure. I mean, I think they have to be revisited. It's going to take place. That's a survival thing. But beyond that, I think there's going to be a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I echo pretty much everything you said, Amy. And I'm sure we've had conversations around this, or maybe conversations with the same people about these topics separately, you and I, Amy. But yeah, there is a lot of change in the air. And I think all mostly for the better. You know, some things are very reactionary, but in other places, it's proactive, which is really, really great to see.
That is once again the voice of Rahul Gandhi of the Quebec Drama Federation, artist and co-director at the QDF. My name is Sarah Day, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM, taking the pulse of the theater community here with Rahul and Amy Blackmore of Mainline Theater and Mathieu Murphy-Perron of Table d'Hôte Theater. How can audience members help the companies they love or the performers they love? January and February is kind of a time of the year where a lot of people hunker down, but there is theater going on. We have Wildside, we have Bouge d'Ici Festival, Bête Noire. We usually have a big show at Siegel and what at Centaur January, February, and we might be at home right now. Instead, plenty of other things to distract us. But if we want to support our favorite artistic institutions or artists, like, what can we do?
Not vote in parties that chronically underfund our healthcare system to the point that we can't handle a health crisis like right now. That would be a start. And get vaccinated.
Like, do companies want to hear messages of support, like donations? Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, Facebook even, like,
yeah, what I wanted to say, you know, it's a little old school, but sign up for our mailing list, please. You know, one thing we've realized at Mainline is that, you know, we really rely on foot traffic. We rely on folks knowing when the fringe happens and just showing up. So we're working on that, and it's going to be, that's part of what we've been doing, throughout the pandemic, but you know, we want you to sign up for our mailing list so that you can see what we're doing online. And you know, if you're not into online theater, just try it again. I think, like, you know, give us opportunities to meet with you, because I think we've all learned a lot about how to connect with each other in this time. Some of us have made great leaps, some more like baby padishahs, let's say. Okay, I got dance on everyone again, because that's what I like to do. But you know, just connect with us, reach out, join our mailing list, do it old school, call me, that would be great. Donate.
Amy, do you want to give everybody your phone number?
514-849-3378. That's mainline, guys. But call me at mainline. Say hi.
You can still call and ask to talk to Amy. You may just be there to take the call just to say hello. Rahul, did you want to add anything there?
Yeah, I mean, I think most things have been said. Donate, connect, reach out, show your interest, you know, try online theater, watch that reading. Not to shamelessly plug QDF, but you can get a pay what you can membership at QDF for free. We have a pay what you can model. And so, you know, we try to help our members and our community stay connected to what's going on. And in order to make it even more accessible, we're pay what you can. If you need to, go $0. We'll get you all the info anyway.
And I'll add, because we were able to see some discrepancies once when theaters were creating again. Not to say that French audiences were rushing to the French theaters, but generally speaking, the French public was more au rendezvous than the English public. And it is quite disconcerting when you are trying to go at this again. It's amongst the safest places you can be. We have more mechanisms in place than pretty much any other businesses, and the audiences just aren't there. That can be a very, very scary thing. So when we do open, whether it's opening in person or doing an outdoor show, showing up and letting us know that there's still a public who are interested in the collective experience of sharing stories and telling tales, please show up.
You're hearing from Mathieu Murphy-Perron of Table d'Hôte Theatre, checking the pulse here of the theatre scene in Montreal in the English side of things. I'm Sarah Day. Also joining us right now, Amy Blackmore of Fringe Festival fame and Mainline Theatre, and also Rahul Gandhi, who last year became co-director and director of operations at Quebec Drama Federation. He's also an actor, and he made his directorial debut at the end of 2021 before things came to a close. The funny thing about the pandemic is that a lot of us have become armchair epidemiologists, you know, sorting through data, trying to make best guess. Some of us have turned into amateur, you know, DIY doctors and nurses to treat our own COVID cases, right? We are not doctors and scientists, but I want to know what your best guess is, what you're thinking or what you're hearing in terms of when live venues will be open again.
February.
Okay, next month.
I'm not comfortable guessing. I have too many fingers and too many pots to go for that. But I will say that I am feeling really confident that we will be able to fringe together this summer. And you know, it's fringe is less than 6 months away.
Oh my gosh. There's a bit of luxury of time, I think, to be a summer organizer of a festival at this time. However, if you're doing Igloo Fest or Wildside, for example, you know, it's almost just like the insanity of the timing. It has a reason, but in a way, it doesn't feel like it makes any sense. Rahul, do you have a sense of when we might be able to get our butts back in seats?
I mean, yeah, I'm also a little bit in the camp with the rest of the folks here that sooner rather than later. You know, we've been through closures and openings a couple of times now, and generally there is a push for, you know, Quebec to have a strong cultural scene. And so when it's possible, it'll happen sooner rather than later, I feel.
I know on the French media side, there's already talk of like, when is this going to happen, and trying to push for it. So who knows, it could be sooner rather than later, but the fact remains that situations are still quite dire with the healthcare system. So we will remain optimistic as much as we can. So we started on a warm, fuzzy note. We looked at our coup de cœur from the end of 2021. What is something that you're working on for the next couple of months that you're truly excited about?
At least at the QDF, we're really working on expanding our capacity and, you know, working a lot in advocacy, because we want to come back better, stronger. We want to have a really strong, you know, safe community for everyone to thrive in, frankly. And personally, I'm supposed to be in Counter Offense by Tisri Dunia at the Siegel Center on March 15th. If we're open, that's where I'll be on March 15th. So I have that coming up and two sort of unannounced projects with Centaur over the next year or so.
Ooh, unannounced projects. Okay, we'll be looking for your name. Amy?
What usually gets me through the winter is that it's my birthday on March 4th, and that's coming up. My birthday is an action, I realized recently, March 4th. Yep, I figured that out. It's pretty exciting for me. But no, I mean, I already spoke about Mainline. Maybe I'll just say that I'm working on a new piece that I'm pretty thrilled to be directing. I'll be directing the workshop of Kenny Strulli's new show, Stoned. So that'll be coming up this winter. And I'm looking forward to, you know, it's Helen Simard that said this, and it stuck with me, and I keep repeating it, but 98% of the work is the creation of the work. The 2% is when we get to present it on stage. I'm pretty excited to just spend some of my 98% this winter digging deep.
Time to reflect and to work, not necessarily in front of somebody, right? That's a really important thing as well. March 4th, Amy Blackmore. Yeah, that has a definite ring to it. Mattia, for yourself?
You know, I've realized some stuff about myself recently, and spare you a lot of the details, but I feel that I'm a bit of a dopamine hunter at times, in the sense that I will consistently be seeking out or creating projects that are going to give me an experience like nothing I've ever experienced before. Because once I've experienced it, like, you know, Rahul brought up La Vie en Pink. And I remember the first night that we were in front of the Pink House and we were working, and I was like, oh, and the next day I was like, yeah, you know, it's very fast for me to get like, eh. Anyways, I've got another project that's going to come give me that dopamine fix, which is going to be like nothing we've ever done before. And you can get the scoop here. We are essentially putting on a show over 7 kilometers long between Griffintown and Villemar, where the audiences will be watching it from boats. So audiences will go on boats in the canal. And as they're going on the canal between Griffintown all the way to Villemar, on the sides of the canal, there will be musicians and dancers and circus artists. And at the locks, there will be short plays, probably featuring some on point characters. So it's the official Sud-West project that's funded by CAM. It's big. We've got some great dancers and circus artists and musicians who are coordinating the different elements. But yes, it's a 7-kilometer moving show featuring over 50 vignettes during that time. So yeah, that's what we're working on.
So do we get to call you Captain Matthew Murphy Perrault now?
Oh, I certainly hope not. I'm way too non-hierarchical.
All aboard. Well, it's been such a pleasure to speak with the three of you. Sit down, check the pulse. I think you are both the three people who have their fingers on the pulse of the theater community. And I'm really heartened to hear that there's realistic sides of things. There's concerns, but there is a lot of optimism here. And it sounds like everyone is very busy, a lot of busy bees here. So thank you so much, Mattia, Amy, and Rahul, for taking the time. We'll see you in a theater or on stage sometime soon. And if not then, probably online. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thus concludes our conversation about the state of theater right now here at the beginning of January 2022. A big thank you to my guests on this panel, Amy Blackmore, Executive and Artistic Director at Mainline Theater and the Saint-Amboise Montreal Fringe Festival and the Bouge d'Ici Dance Festival. You can visit mainlinetheater.ca. Mathieu Murphy-Perron, Artistic and Executive Director at Table d'Hôte Theater. You can visit them at tabledhote.ca, TableAuDhote. And Rahul Gandhi, an actor who is also the co-director and director of operations at the Quebec Drama Federation, visit quebecdrama.org. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM.
COVID-19 is quickly circulating throughout the province of Quebec. It's essential that you get tested only if you have COVID-like symptoms. Symptoms such as fever, cough, and loss of taste or loss of smell. As you may already know, testing still remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. For more information, visit quebec.ca/test COVID-19. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio. My name is Sarah Day, and I'm coming to you from my home yet again this week. And now for something completely different. The Musical Stage Company was founded in Toronto back in 2004 as Acting Up Stage Company. Today, the organization is the largest and leading charitable musical theater company in Canada and aspires to its slogan, "We believe it's better with music." The company produces educational programs, helps develop new Canadian musicals. It also produces Uncovered, a series of musical evenings that bring to vivid life the work and inspiration of popular musical artists. Here is musical supervisor Reza Jacobs explaining what Uncovered aims to achieve.
Uncovered is a concert that the Musical Stage Company does every year, where we take the song catalog of a pop artist and we collaborate with Canadian music theater stars to retell, to reimagine these songs with an emphasis on the lyrics and the stories.
And it's too late, baby, now. It's too late.
The way we come up with the arrangements is very collaborative. The artists in the room, we all talk together, we talk about what the lyric means, and we try to approach it based on the meaning of the song, as opposed to just what feels good or sounds good. A lot of these songs are iconic, so it's very difficult to divorce the words from the way that we're used to hearing them. So this is an effort to excavate and reimagine the song. Ultimately, the concert is a unique way to see these celebrities, really, you know, sharing the stage and not playing a character. They're being themselves, telling these amazing stories. We tend to groove along to our favorite songs. We tend to dance along to them. But this is a chance to really focus on what the songs mean, delivered by people who are trained in investing meaning in the words that they sing.
Musical supervisor Reza Jacobs there explaining how Uncovered aims to entertain audiences and breathe new life into classic pop songs. Uncovered's first ever show incarnated the Beatles, and its latest presentation, the 15th in the series, brings to life the story of Dolly Parton, whose 76th birthday is fittingly coming up this Wednesday. Dolly was born on that day back in 1946, Dolly Rebecca Parton, in a one-room cabin on the banks of the Little Pigeon River in Pittman Center, Tennessee. The fourth child of Abby and Robert, she was followed by another eight siblings. Now looking back, Dolly described her family as dirt poor. She famously says her father paid the doctor who delivered her with a bag of cornmeal. But Dolly ended up moving to Nashville after high school and created for herself a glittering, kitschy, hit-laden career as a country music icon, starting with her 1967 debut, Hello, I'm Dolly. She is equal parts glamour and folksiness, and she knows how to laugh at herself. Dolly had 25 songs hit the top of the Billboard country charts, and she's also a prolific songwriter, having composed over 3,000 of them, many about love and empowerment. Dolly is also an actress. She operates a theme park named for herself, Dollywood, in Tennessee. And most recently, she's quite famous for sponsoring a huge breakthrough in the fight against COVID-19. In Uncovered, we get acquainted with the biggest and brightest songs from that huge catalog. Here is singer Haley Gillis performing Here You Come Again.
Here you come again. Looking better than a body has a right to, and shaking me up so that all I really know is here you come again, and here I go. All you gotta do is smile that smile. There go all my defenses. Just leave it up to you.
singer Haley Gillis performing Here You Come Again for Uncovered, the music of Dolly Parton. Now, the show was recorded last fall in Toronto at the famed Kerner Hall with six singers, including Haley and a live band, and you can catch it streaming tonight and this weekend via the Siegel Center. Sarah Farr was one of the performers on stage. She is a repeat guest at Uncovered. And you might remember that name from a Siegel Center production a few years back, where she played Anne Frank in an alternate world where the young girl had survived the Holocaust and come to live in New York City. In real life, Sarah is a gifted actress, a born and raised Torontonian. Sarah Farb joined me to talk about the magic of Dolly Parton and the joy of live performance earlier this week. Welcome to Upstage, Sarah. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
A couple of years ago, you were on the Siegel Center stage in the Secret Annex. Is this the first time you're not really in Montreal to do Uncovered, but is this your second Montreal appearance since then?
Yeah, it is. Secret Annex happened, I think, the beginning of 2016. And so it's been that long since I've, quote unquote, visited, and it's great to be back.
But tell me about the Uncovered series, because this is actually the 15th in a series. It happens at Kerner Hall. What else can you tell us for Montreal audiences that may not be as familiar with the series?
Uncovered takes the work of well-known artists, singer-songwriters, and focuses on the storytelling of the songs. And I'm sure Mitchell Marcus, who is the CEO of Musical Stage Company, could give you a much better description, but that's sort of what it boils down to. The first one was the Beatles, and sort of going on from there, we've covered Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen, Elton John, Billy Joel, Simon and Garfunkel, Sting and the Police. It really has run the gamut of artists and influences, and every time the audience is enthralled because people love these songs already and they're being presented to them in this brand new way, and every single year we're told that some of their favorite songs they've heard in a brand new way, which is really incredible and really gratifying. And Kerner Hall is one of the most incredible and architecturally gorgeous spaces in Toronto, at least, and to sing there and make music in this state-of-the-art concert hall is just a dream. So the combination is really quite something. It's a pretty extraordinary show.
So tell me about Uncovered, the music of Dolly Parton. How did you find out about the production?
I've been a part of the Uncovered series since its inception. I've done every concert that Musical Stage has presented, except for one when I was working and couldn't make it happen. But it's sort of been a mainstay of my stage life. And so I'm very fortunate that Mitchell Marcus and the Musical Stage Company invite me to participate every year. And so it was just kind of a, hey, you want to do this again? And I said, yeah, of course.
Did you know the subject matter before you said yes? Or was it just like an automatic, like, I'm on board?
Well, yeah, it is generally an automatic yes, but it's always exciting to find out who they'll be presenting. And sometimes my relationship to the artists is a little deeper. Like I grew up in a house listening to Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen, and one year they presented those two together. Dolly Parton was a little less present in my life, and so it's always a great opportunity to learn the songbooks of artists that I don't know as well.
Absolutely. It's a learning experience and a chance to kind of immerse yourself. So tell me about your first impressions of Dolly Parton. Like, what did you think about her before you found out you were going to be part of Uncovered? And maybe something that you've since learned, or maybe a new angle that you've come to appreciate.
She just wasn't really in my purview for most of my adult life. I think she experiences this a lot, but I think I just kind of cast her off as a you know, popsy, kind of like girly vocalist who fills a very particular niche that I don't really have any interest in, which is mostly country music. But over the last few years, I think this groundswell of appreciation for who she is and what she stands for has really popped up. And because I'm a millennial and as online as a normal person, that caught my attention. And I, of course, was shown why she deserves more appreciation than what I guess I wrote her off as deserving. And then she stepped up and donated all that money to the vaccination development for Moderna. And she really has proven herself to be an extremely reliable LGBTQ plus ally and feminist and a real pioneer in her field. And getting to know all of that over the last few years, and certainly with this concert, has made me sort of regret not appreciating those facts earlier on.
And knowing you brought up her donation that led to the creation, the development of the Moderna vaccine, which millions of people have taken around the world, like truly, like it was a shining light in the middle of this pandemic to know that Dolly was involved with the development of one of our vaccines. Do you think that kind of played into maybe the timing of including her? You mentioned that other artists have been covered on Uncovered, and that maybe like her resurgence in the spotlight with those ties kind of led to her being the selection.
I think it certainly helped. I do know that Dolly Parton has been bouncing around as a potential artist to cover for the last few years because her songwriting is undeniable, as we see in the show, her ability to tell stories and just the scope of what she covers is pretty incredible. And so for a show that really focuses on the storytelling of songs, she's a really great choice. But the fact that she was so present in the conversation obviously didn't hurt matters. And it's as much a celebration of what she stands for now as what she has stood for always.
Speaking with Sarah Farb from Uncovered, the music of Dolly Parton. She's going to be one of the performers this weekend online as presented by the Siegel Center. You were mentioning about, you know, the reasons that Dolly stands out as a performer. She's also you said she's a great storyteller. She's also a prolific songwriter. We know that she wrote the Whitney Houston, like the song that we associate with Whitney Houston all the time. Of course, I'm blanking on it, but that was actually—
I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You. Of course, that's associated. That was written by Dolly. And that was, I'm sure, like having that big songbook definitely makes the producing of Uncovered a lot easier, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is often a surprise for people to find out that particular song, because it is almost exclusively associated with Whitney Houston. And when people find out that Dolly Parton wrote it, it's such a shock. And to hear her take on it is such a simple interpretation compared to the incredibly, you know, emotional and vocally gymnastic performance that we get from Whitney Houston. So the songbook really, it covers a lot of territory. It's obviously ripe for interpretation, as Whitney Houston demonstrated, but because Dolly writes such clear stories and deceptively simple melodies, but really they're available to interpretation. They avail themselves to interpretation quite readily. It feels like a natural artist to cover and quite an enjoyable one to dig into and put your own stamp on.
And not to mention the fact that she also has such a wide audience. It seems like there is no stereotypical Dolly fan. Like I think people from all different political divides, whether people live in rural or urban areas. Like, she seems to have this mass appeal, even though she is in the kind of very niche genre, right? Country, yeah. Romantic. I mean, romance is very popular across the board, but there's a little bit of something that appeals to everyone with her.
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing. She really bridges a lot of divides. There's a quotation in the show that Fran Lebowitz has said something about even people who don't like each other, like Dolly Parton. That's a horrible, horrible paraphrase. But she's somehow this like incredible unifier, and it doesn't really seem like it's much of an effort. She's just so herself, and people appreciate that no matter who they are.
Well, even at a paraphrase, I think you were very succinct about that. So enough about Dolly, though. Let's talk about Uncovered and how this production presents itself, just to get a taste of what we can expect. It's you and there's five other performers, I think, in the cast, all very talented people. So what do we see in an Uncovered show?
We see different performers with different narrative and song styles, I suppose, give you songs that you might know, you might not know, in a new way. They offer a new perspective. It's under the supervision of Reza Jacobs, who oversees all of the musical arrangement. So each performer works with him to develop what we think the most effective storytelling will be with the material that we have, with the song. So we might sort of slow things down. We might examine other musical pieces and work them in. We might focus on particular phrases and highlight them a little more than in the original. So it's sort of diverse and eclectic, but it's all very cohesive. And it works very beautifully to bring all of these songs back to life in a way.
Speaking with Sarah Tharb, who's going to be performing in Uncovered, the music of Dolly Parton, which you can see from the comfort of your own home this Thursday and Saturday, siegelcenter.org. Sarah, Dolly's visual identity is also incredibly iconic. The sequins, the costumes, the big, big hair and the big, big boobs. What happens with the visuals? Like, I know, obviously, none of the performers are Dolly, but I'm just imagining, do you pay homage with the set? Is there anything elaborate going on, or is it very simple?
In this concert, we take turns reciting or reading quotations from Dolly. And so we do pay homage in that way. In the past, we've had performers sort of embody, not so much impersonate, the artists that we're honoring. I had the pleasure of representing Bob Dylan when we did Dylan and Springsteen. And that was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was great. And so it's a lot of curated quotations and interview sound bites and that kind of thing to really keep the person alive on stage, not just the music, and sort of offer a context for where the music might live in the story of the artist. You'll definitely have more than just the songs. And there's no real sequins on the stage, but we do look appropriate.
I can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. And the other neat point is that Reza Jacobs, who's taking care of, as we were saying, the supervision, the musical supervision, you're also getting a chance yourself as a performer to collaborate, to give input on what you're doing. What is that like for you as a performer to have that input into the conversation?
It's invaluable. It's what you always look for when you're creating something. There are some moments when being told what to do is really important and valuable and something that I respond to. But in moments like this, where it is sort of a reimagining of songs and the creation of things is so organic, you feel totally valued and worthy of input. And with Reza, but because I've done this so many times, we have a pretty easy shorthand, and we've figured out so many songs together that it's such an easy exercise for us. And when I'm told what song they're thinking I should do, I always trust the choice because it's always the right choice. And I always end up having a great time and feeling really connected to the song and to the work that we do. So being involved in that kind of creation feels great and is sort of the point.
There's a lot of trust there. I can just hear it. Sarah, we have to also acknowledge the situation we're in, which is that not a lot of people are getting to perform live. I'm not 100% sure on the details in Toronto, but in Montreal, all of our artistic venues are closed at the moment as we speak. So as a performer, knowing that this is going to go out into the virtual world, how do you feel about that?
I'm glad people can see this outside of Toronto. It is an incredible bummer where we're at yet again. You'll see in the digital presentation the shared joy for this moment in the fall where restrictions were lifted and people could be in a theater and enjoy live performance. And it's emotional for everybody on stage and everybody watching. We are all just kind of in awe that this can exist again. And it will exist again, but it felt like a bit of a mirage, and you do get that sense, and it captured something very special and kind of fleeting.
Sarah, can't wait to check it out. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. Here you come again, looking better than a body has a right to. Shaking me up so that all I really know is here you come again and here I go. All you gotta do is...
That was performer Sarah Farb. You can catch her perform in Uncovered, the music of Dolly Parton, tonight and this weekend virtually. We are hearing again Haley Gillis here singing Here You Come Again, and in a moment I'm going to play you one of Sarah Farb's performances from a previous Uncovered show. You can stream one of four presentations of the program. One is airing very shortly from now at 7 p.m., as well as Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 1 and 7 p.m. You can visit siegelcenter.org to book your ticket, $25 or $20 for subscribers. For more information on this individual show and the series Uncovered, you can visit musicalstagecompany.com. And if you're curious about the life of Dolly, I have a podcast recommendation for you, a series called Dolly Parton's America. It's a six-part series from WNYC's Radio Lab. It first aired back in 2019. Reporters Jad Abumrad and Shima Oliai uncover the many facets of Dolly. Jad's father, a doctor, actually treated Dolly back a few years ago and became a friend. My favorite episode actually tracks the origin and meaning of the Appalachian murder ballad. So you don't just learn about Dolly, but you learn a lot of other things about history and pop culture. You can check out Dolly Parton's America wherever you get your podcasts. Now, as promised, here is my guest, Sarah Farb, this time singing A Case of You, song by Joni Mitchell, written about her breakup with Graham Nash, performed for another Uncovered show by Musical Stage Company. Just before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada, oh Canada, with your face sketched on it twice. You're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. I could drink a case of you, darling, and I would still be on my feet. I'd still be on my feet.
live in a box of pains. I'm frightened by the devil, and I'm drawn to the ones that ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me, you said love is touching souls. Surely you touched mine, 'cause a part of you pours out of me. From these lines, from time to time. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. You taste so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you.
That was my guest Sarah Farb from earlier this evening singing A Case of You by Joni Mitchell, part of a soiree in homage to Joni in the Uncovered series. It is a series of shows staged in Toronto by the Musical Stage Company. Their 15th and most recent evening was a tribute to Dolly Parton, and it was recorded last fall. You can see Sarah sing one of Dolly's songs in the show. Stream one of the four representations, one airing very shortly from now at 7 o'clock, as well as Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 1 and 7 p.m. SiegelCenter.org to book your ticket. It's $25 or $20 for subscribers. And if you want to learn more about this show and the series Uncovered, you can visit musicalstagecompany.com. Before I'll go, I'll just mention one big name moving back to Toronto from Montreal. The CEO at the National Theatre School is leaving after roughly 7 years. Gideon Arthurs is going on to helm the Soul Pepper Theatre Company in Toronto. I actually spoke with him several years ago when he left Tarragon Theatre to come work at National Theatre School. Interestingly enough, as you remember, Mike Payette of Geordie has gone to work at Tarragon Theatre as of last year. So the National Theatre School says it's thanking Gideon for his work, which included launching and overseeing an artistic leadership residency program, the Centre for Theatre Research and Development, as well as overseeing successful community outreach programs and a residency for Indigenous artists. Before NTS, Gideon had worked as general manager at Tarragon Theatre and was executive director at the Toronto Fringe. The NTS also noted that he's leaving the organization in great financial shape and that underneath his leadership, the theatre and the school expanded a lot and is in really good shape looking ahead to the future. Gideon ends the school year, and then the school is now searching for someone to fill his shoes. You have been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Tonight you heard Amy Blackmore of Mainline Theatre and Fringe Fest, Mathieu Murphy-Perron of Table d'Hôte Theatre, Rahul Gandhi of Quebec Drama Federation, and performer Sarah Farb on the magic of Dolly Parton. A very big thank you to my guests. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at CKUT.ca under the archives. Thank you to Jack Soler, our spoken word coordinator, for making sure this show gets to air. And a very big thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Sarah DeAy, and I'm off to view Uncovered, the music of Dolly Parton. Speak with you next time on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. Stay safe. Up next is Grey Matters.
It's time to make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The spread of the COVID-19 virus and its variants has become critical. For everyone's well-being, contact must be kept to a minimum, and health measures must continue, including washing your hands, keeping your distance, and wearing a mask. If you have symptoms, get tested and self-isolate at home. This effort is essential. For more information, visit quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
It's time to make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Good evening and welcome to the January 13th edition of Grey Matters. Tonight on the show we have a lecture by consumer advocate Ralph Nader. It's entitled, What Are We Waiting For? It was recorded in Winston, Connecticut on December 27th, 2021. So, without further ado, here's Ralph Nader and What Are We Waiting For?
We have to wake up here and ask ourselves, since we own the greatest public wealth, the people, the public lands, the public airways, trillions of dollars of government R&D that built all the industries that we talk about in this country, from Silicon Valley to aerospace, a lot of the pharmaceutical industry came out of R&D that the capitalists didn't want to invest in. What are we waiting for?